Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, which can be found in the Right Bible, page 966, or in Chinese Bible, 中文圣经, 1424页. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. The Magi visited the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when he rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for that reading. We're going to spend a few moments thinking about that passage in the Bible. So it's useful to have it open. It was page 966 in the English Bibles. I have no idea what was just said about the Chinese Bibles. But hopefully you'll be able to find that. It's Matthew chapter 2. And it's at the end of the traditional Christmas story. So Jesus has been born, as Sabina was just telling us. A great king in a lowly place. And Jesus has been born, and that first Christmas day has happened. Jesus is the one that Christmas is all about. And he is now here on earth. Now, I don't know what it's like in your house just after Christmas. In mine, I kind of get that feeling where I've eaten a little bit too much the last few days. I love Christmas. Especially the food. I've eaten a little bit too much in the last few days. And it's sort of crossed with that. And where on earth are we going to fit all these new kids' toys? Now, one year we got given a 4-foot giant teddy. Now, where does that sort of thing live in your house? I know you probably don't have one. But if you do, where does that sort of thing live? And you've got this kind of Christmas. We love it. It's magical. It's wonderful. It's brilliant. And then afterwards, there's that kind of slight back to normality. But not this first Christmas. Not this very first Christmas. The events that we have just read from the Bible, they happened up to 2 years after Jesus was born. And even after maybe up to 2 years, there is still a star shining. A star shining, announcing the birth of Jesus. God placing a spotlight on his one and only son. God are the proud dad of his son born on earth. So this star shines. telling people that first Christmas day is here. And some of the people who saw it were those magi, those wise men. We saw a reenactment of it in the video. And they come from a foreign country as they see this bright star that grabbed their attention. They must have had this scrap of information that was passed down from generation to generation, telling them that a star would come and it would announce something important. It was a promise from God, not to the nation the Magi were from, to another nation, but the Magi had heard about it. And when the promise comes, off they travel. They leave their country and travel to see what's happening. So they come from the east. And as you can imagine, just imagine them arriving in Israel. They're in this foreign land, foreigners in a new country they'd never been, weary from a hard journey, nervous probably for feeling slightly out of place. There's a different language going on around them, a different culture. And they're trying to understand, why would someone do something like that in that way? They're traveling around looking for road signs that they might be able to understand, but of course there's none. They feel out of place. And of course, people looking at them are saying, what are you guys doing here? They look different. They look out of place. But they travel into Israel and they head straight to Jerusalem. That's the capital city of Israel. If you're looking for a king, where are you going to go? You're going to go to the capital city and straight to the palace. And that's what these magi did. Straight to King Herod's palace. And verse 2 tells us what they said when they arrived there. They asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." It's an incredible thing to say. Walk up to the guy who's wearing the crown in that country and say to him, "Where is the one born king of the Jews?" See, they're not asking, where is the one who will be the king of the Jews? They're not looking for a new prince, a new heir to the throne. They're looking to the one who is the king of the Jews, already king. That's a pretty bold move. Now, I think I just need to explain a little bit about what that phrase means, king of the Jews. You see, the Jews were the people living in Israel. The Israelite people. And they were God's people. The Old Testament, the bit of the Bible that is before Jesus was born, explains how God called a group of people to be his people, to live for him. And God had promised that from this group of people, a king would be born. A king would come. He would be king of the Jews. King of the Jews, so from the Jews, but for the whole world. From the Jews, but for the whole world. And one day this king would come and he would reign forever. He would be a special type of king. And this, that is the king the Magi are looking for. One who fulfills that great promise. And the Magi weren't even Jewish, but they are seeking this king of the Jews, the king for the whole world. Well, as you can imagine, Herod's not particularly happy. How dare someone come and say that there's another king? See, this is Herod the Great. This is the picture here is the Herod that's been talked about in the Bible. And the great bit doesn't come from him being greatly loving and kind. This is a Herod, this is a king who got things done no matter what the cost. So whether it was from the great building projects he undertook or the great dynasty building that he planned, he got things done. That's why he was called the Great. One writer describes him like this. He was the evil genius of the Judean nation. So of course he wanted to find out more because he wanted to stop this new king. He was the king. So he calls together the chief priests and teachers of the law. These are the Jews who knew the Old Testament. They knew the stuff. They knew the promises of God. And so he gets them together, basically to find out who this king is and so he can stop him. He's pretty anti-Jesus, as we see in many countries around the world today, people who are anti-Jesus. But did you see the guys come in, these people who had been waiting, studying the Old Testament, waiting for this king to come, and they come and they quote to Herod this verse from Micah, from the prophet Micah. And they say, it's in verse 5, "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Now, Micah was a prophet. He wrote over 700 years before Jesus was born. A prophet was God's spokesperson to the Israelites, to the Jewish people, telling them God's promises and God's warnings. And although he wrote so many years before, yet because he was speaking from God, he could say where Jesus was going to be born. And so the chief priests, these guys who've been waiting for this great day to happen, they read out this prophecy. They tell it to Herod. The wise men hear it. And they tell them that in Bethlehem, the great king of the Jews will be born. And then can you see what these chief priests, these teachers of the law, do next? Can you see? They do absolutely nothing. See, these guys who studied the Old Testament, who knew the promises, they're waiting for this great day when king would be born. They've been waiting 400 years since God had last spoken to them. This was a monumental day for them. Absolutely incredible. The star is in the sky. The promise has come. God has come down to earth as a baby. And the Magi turn up and say, "Look, there's the star. Tell us the promise. Great, it's Bethlehem." And these guys, these teachers of the law who should have known better, they do absolutely nothing. They hang around with Herod some more. And I wonder if some of us, if we're being honest, are a bit like that. See, we hear the great news of Jesus. We hear it at Christmas time. We hear the story of this baby being born, God's becoming man, the king of the world, the savior of the world. And we hear it, but we do nothing about it. We carry on as we are. We join in the activities, the great and wonderful activities that go on. We hear Christmas, we see Christmas, but we do nothing about the one Christmas is all about. Jesus is near, but we just carry on as we are. That's certainly what these teachers of the law were doing. The Magi are different. The Magi, having heard, they continue to seek Jesus. They hear where he's been born, and off they eagerly go. And the star continues to guide them. I mean, it's kind of like the best sat-nav ever, isn't it? You've got this star guiding them to the destination. And they reach where Jesus is. They have sought him. They have found him. And now they worship him. Look at, it's there in verse 11. "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." I mean, it's a bit of an odd thing to do to a baby, isn't it? Give these sort of gifts. It kind of beats the normal baby grows and cuddly toys you normally get given. But the thing with this baby is that you're not giving something out of need. This baby Jesus, is God. He's the creator of the universe. He doesn't need anything in that sense. See, gifts were given to wealthy, to self-sufficient people. as demonstrations of the giver's desire. It was the giver's desire to show how wonderful this person is. They're coming and they're giving Jesus their treasure. Important gifts that are more valuable than what could be given. What could be got from Jesus. They're not coming to get things from him. They're coming to show how wonderful he is. They're coming to him because of who he is. Because this is no ordinary baby. The Magi come, they worship him as God and King. You see, Micah's prophecy, as we were reading it, gives us a great clue as to who Jesus is, what type of king he is. He is, of course, a ruler, but not in the ways of Herod the Great. I don't know if you spotted it. He was called a shepherd. Now think about what a shepherd does. It's a shepherd for the people. A shepherd cares for his sheep. A shepherd guides his sheep to drink, to food, to sustain them. A shepherd protects his sheep from the enemies. And the sheep, well, they follow the shepherds because they know he is good and he will look after them. And that's the kind of ruler, the kind of king that Jesus is to his people. The kind of king who is good, who provides, who protects from enemies to the point of giving his own life. That's why this first Christmas is so important. It's when that shepherd king came down to earth. Because Jesus does all this and more. He is no ordinary baby. And that's why the Magi are such great examples to us of what we should be doing this first Christmas. What we should be doing every Christmas, what we should be doing every day. We seek, find, and worship Jesus. It's great faith they demonstrate in the Lord Jesus. They're a great example. But there's one more thing I want us to notice before we finish. Notice who started all this off. It was God. See, it was God who sent his son into the world. It was God who put that star in the sky. It was God who made those promises all those years before to the people so that when these events happened, people would know what they mean. It was God who first sought the Magi. And I wonder if God is seeking you this first Christmas. I don't know what's brought you to Manchester, what's brought you and your family here. I'm sure there's many reasons we went around the room. But perhaps God has a slightly different plan for you while you're here than you expected. Maybe he is seeking you. Maybe that's why you're here this morning. Like the Magi were led to a different country to find Jesus. Maybe God has brought you here to find Jesus. See, God is always seeking people. He's always looking to bring people back to him. And many people here, we heard it from Carlos earlier, but many people here can tell their stories of how Jesus found them. Do ask people before you leave. But God is seeking you. And so will you seek, find, and worship him through his son this first Christmas time? I'm going to close with a prayer. Just asking God that he would do that for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that first Christmas that you sent your one and only Son into the world, that Jesus came to seek and to save. And we pray if we don't yet know that truth, that this Christmas time, you would seek us and we would find you. Amen. We're going to turn and sing again about.